Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 30, from Friday, the 14th of October, 2011. I am Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Kemslave. Hello, Kemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
How are you doing this fine Friday morning?
Pretty good.
That's fantastic. It's
Friday.
Yes. TGIF, right?
Yep.
Alrighty, so we have some technology stories, some, happy tech. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Less serious technology stories. Of course, Monday was talking about Steve Jobs passing away. But Friday, we can talk about a lot less consequential stuff. And we can start off with a Gizmodo story that I thought was quite interesting. Kemslave, why don't you talk to us about this?
I'm on a bit of an education thing.
Yes, I can see that.
It's about fingerprint scanners at schools.
Okay.
So, this Washington County school in Florida have decided that they're going to use fingerprint scanners to take attendance. They're going to be putting them on the bus. This is, like, really, really weird. So, they're like, taking attendance at school is so hard that we need to install fingerprint scanners. Other than the whole Orwellian type thing where you're, like, being, like, scanned every time you walk into the school. This really sort of, has these hints of, like, concentration camps, where you get a null number and you fit your finger into the scanner, you're in. I don't know. This seems to be really, really stupid.
I'm in total agreement with you. I love technology as much as the next geek, but this is just ridiculous. There is absolutely no need for a fingerprint scanner on buses or in the classroom. As a matter of fact, if I was a parent, I would not allow my kid to make use of those, and I would, if necessary, move out of that district. That is an invasion of privacy. That has the potential to track them throughout every possible aspect of their school life. And even within the school system, they should be able to feel like they're not prisoners. And this is really, you summed it up just right. This really does smack of a concentration camp prisoner type mentality. I believe students should not be made to feel like they are equal to the teachers. Of course, they should feel like they're there to actually accomplish something. But that being said, they also should should be free to not have to biologically verify their identity every time they step outside. That really is too much. That's several bridges too far.
And see, I don't see the reason for the need for one of these. Most teachers, like, I don't know, for a homeroom, we'd have assigned seats. So they'd just look, oh, there's an empty seat there. Who's not here today? Check. Here, they're not in. Or teachers, like most teachers after the first month, should be able to know what students are in the classroom and which aren't. Even if they do, if you have a laissez-faire type attitude towards seating, you should be able to have some type of facial recognition to say, okay, Joey is not in, or Ferris is not in.
You're absolutely right. This is, there's really no explanation, unless you want to go into, like, the Orwellian kind of Big Brother type of explanations, and I don't necessarily want to get into that. You see, the thing about public school systems is that whenever somebody has an idea, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, it's automatically considered. And bad ideas are automatically given more consideration because they don't want it to seem like they're dismissing somebody out of hand. And if enough stupid people get together and make a stupid decision, it becomes, you know, actually becomes policy. You'd be surprised. Well, maybe you wouldn't, I don't know. But many people would be surprised just how many idiots are employed by school districts in decision and decision making capacities, no less. And it's frightening, the level of ineptitude that school administrators display at times. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was just somebody's bright idea that they pushed heavily at school board meetings and somebody owed somebody a favor. And they thought, well, okay, this is increased security, this is increased safety, but doing it for the children is for the children. Yeah, I mean, you want to keep the children safe, don't you? You want the kids to be safe, right?
Nope, screw the children.
Yeah. It's such bullshit. It really is. But I view this as probably PC gone too far, as nanny state gone too far, as the school district thinking they have more responsibility than they really have, and it does have a lot of very bad implications. If kids from an elementary school age up through high school are taught that every time they go into a building, they need to check in with a fingerprint. I mean, that is very, very 1984. Very 1984. And there are sincere privacy implications from that. The burden is on the school district to properly administer its classrooms. And if they have a problem with truancy, for instance, the teacher should be observant enough, like you said very nicely, the teacher should be observant enough to see that and take the appropriate course of action. There is no need for fingerprint scanners. As a matter of fact, that's just one more thing to go wrong, to break, to cost a whole hell of a lot of money to implement. I mean, get new textbooks for these kids. Don't be spending the money on that. Get improved technology in the classroom, like iPads or laptops. Get better food in the cafeteria. Fund after-school activities like, sports and the arts. Really try to enrich the students' lives. Don't throw this bullshit in their lap about having to scan their fingertip every time they look outside the window. That is the height of irresponsibility. It is an abdication of the school district's solemn responsibility to do what is best for the kids. And this is not what is best for the kids.
Nope.
Okay, so, do you have anything else?
I don't have much else to say about this.
All right, then. So, ChemSlave, we have some Apple news to talk about, and it is actually good news.
Oh, did they release the iPhone 5?
That's right.
Really?
iPhone 5. It is... it's an exclusive to Virgin Mobile.
Oh, joy.
Wouldn't that have been, like, the biggest fuck you to, like, everybody in the country?
Yes.
I mean, I would... that would have almost been... I almost wish they did that. Quite frankly, they could have called this the iPhone 5. I am actually annoyed by the news coverage about this. First off, I'm not going to get the iPhone 4S. That was what was really released. I'm not getting the iPhone 4S. ChemSlave, are you going to be getting the iPhone 4S?
No. Now, I'm waiting for the 5.
Is it because you have a deep-seated hatred for the 4S, or is it just that you don't think you need it right now?
Two reasons. A, I don't think I really need it right now. And B, I'm on contract with my 4, and I'm waiting until that thing runs out so I can get it get an upgrade.
Same with me. Now, on the outside, the iPhone 4S is indistinguishable from the iPhone 4. But literally everything about this phone is different. From the antenna to every component on the inside. It has been totally redesigned, upgraded, rethought, re-engineered. And these people that are calling this just a minor upgrade, it's boring and it's not... that is such a vapid, such a lazy point of view to take. I mean, if they had put all those components, an 8-megapixel camera, up from a 5-megapixel camera, a intelligent dual antenna that switches between, you know, whatever is best for your signal strength in the area, the A5 processor, likely an upgrade in RAM, although that might not be the case, we don't know yet. Siri voice assistant.
I'm really excited about that part.
Are you being sarcastic, or are you really excited?
I really am. That seems really interesting.
I'm with you. If they did this right, I expect that this could be a big deal. Google has had voice recognition capabilities built into Android for about 2 years now, and it's on the whole very good, very very good. But it doesn't have the breadth of integration with applications and services that Siri does. And I think Siri has the capability to blow Android speech recognition out of the water. But we have to see. They have this cutesy little video... an ad playing on TV with some dude jogging, and he wants to make an appointment, and he has Siri do it for him, and Siri informs him that he has a conflicting appointment in the same time slot, and he says move it to 2, and it's, if it works that well, fantastic. That'll be a huge, huge improvement. Although, do you know who John Siracusa is?
No.
John Siracusa is a well-known... I actually don't know what the hell he does. But he's a well-known Apple enthusiast. He has a show on a podcast network called 5x5. He does a show about how Apple is screwing things up. It's called Hypercritical. Is criticizing Apple and the Apple ecosystem. He made the point on his show that I thought was a very cogent point, that people are too easily confused about the difference between speech recognition and AI, artificial intelligence. AI does not exist. We do not possess the technology to make a computer or a machine or anything like that that can think for itself, that can dynamically and spontaneously create unique and complex thoughts. No program, be it Siri or Google, will be able to converse with you like a real assistant would. Like a real person. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that there is not a lot of room to improve on speech recognition technology. And it looks like Siri is really going to be a impressive leap forward. I want to see it. I am not necessarily waiting with bated breath, but I do think it's going to be interesting. And I will certainly look forward to testing it out on the iPhone 5. I can't afford it. I did the research, and to get a 16-gigabyte iPhone 4S, that is like $650 off contract, unsubsidized.
Holy crap.
And I was only going to be able to get $200 from Gazelle. Gazelle.com, this is not an advertisement. We don't have advertisers. But I use a service called Gazelle.com to sell old gadgets and get money for them. And I usually do that in order to help subsidize the purchase of a new phone or whatever gadget I'm upgrading. Like, if a new iPad comes out, I'll sell the old one to help pay for the new one. And if it's within $200, I have no problem paying that. Once I get the money from Gazelle, if going out and buying the new product, it costs me about $200 within, I don't have a problem with that. But at $650, I was only going to be able to get $200 from Gazelle. That still left me with a $450 shortfall. And I was unwilling to spend that. That would be the first time I've ever had to pay that much to upgrade to an iPhone. And I have had the iPhone 3G. I immediately upgraded to the 3GS when it came out. And then I immediately upgraded to the iPhone 4 when that came out. And this is going to be the first time since I've bought an iPhone that I have not immediately upgraded. And it's going to probably drive me nuts. And I have been all week trying to think of ways to finagle it so I could get the iPhone 4S. But I can't do it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have a problem with this.
What?
So one of my coworkers pre-ordered the 4S on Friday.
Oh, you're going to be envious.
Oh, yes, I'm going to be very envious. Because he was, like, asking me about it, like on Tuesday when after the keynote. And it was, like, because I was, like, during my break, I actually had, like, I don't know if it was Engadget or one of the tech sites open. I was, like, looking at, like, what they changed in the new phone. It was, like, he was, like, asking me questions, like, do I need this or that? It was, like, I was trying to sort of get him into the right direction on the iPhone.
Yeah. What do you think about the iPhone 4S? I've been pontificating about it. I haven't given you the opportunity to chime in. What do you think about it? Do you think it's an incremental upgrade, or do you agree with me that it is really a substantial improvement?
Truthfully, I do think it's a substantial improvement. The change of the there being like two antennas, like one on the top, one on the bottom. That's really really interesting. If I had the money, I probably would upgrade. But like you said, $420 is not amount of money I'm willing to spend on a phone at this moment, especially as I just got this phone a few months ago.
Absolutely, that's factoring into my situation as well. If I had this phone for 2 years now, even if it did cost me that much, I might still think about upgrading. But I've only had this for, you know, ever since February of this year, so I'm not in a rush, except for the geek cred. It'll kill me not having the latest and greatest, but when you think about it, the iPhone 4 is still a beautiful device. It is fast. It's got that beautiful Retina display. It's thin, even when it's in a case. It's still a fantastic camera. That 5-megapixel camera in the iPhone 4 lets in so much light that it is just a tremendously detailed and bright, vibrant shot. It is fantastic. The iPhone 4 is still a great, great camera. It's a great camera, but it's a great phone in general. Kemstave, what do you think about the iPhone 4 being $99 for an 8-gigabyte model? Do you think that's going to be tempting to a lot of people?
I think the $99 iPhone 4 is going to be very tempting to a lot of people, because I know a lot of people who are on the verge of needing to get a new phone at work. I know for a fact that they've been waiting with bated breath, like, to see what the new phone is, and if the $99 is a good price point for those that maybe don't have enough money to spend due to like families and stuff.
But that's right.
Sort of an impulse buy, and the fact that they're giving you can get the 3GS for quote unquote free is. Also really
good. I was going to mention that. I think that's the more interesting of the two. I read, it was on Gizmodo, as a matter of fact, this really obnoxious post. It was somebody saying, please, please, please don't buy the iPhone 3GS. Please, please don't do it. It's 2 years old. It's not worth it. It's a piece of shit. It was just off the wall. Chemslave, you never had an iPhone 3GS, but I did. And let me tell you something. That was a nice phone. It had an okay camera. It wasn't fantastic, but it was okay. It wasn't terrible. But the processor was fast. It wasn't an A4 or an A5, but it was fast. It was a decent phone. And it's still a nice phone. Some people still prefer to hold that phone over the iPhone 4 because they're less afraid of breaking it. And the curved back fits nicer into your hand. There's a lot of people that could legitimately pick up an iPhone 3GS and think to myself, oh my god, it's free. I like the way it looks. The back is not glass, so that's one... I've already cut down by half the opportunity for me to break this thing. For a kid, like a tween, or an early teenager, just starting out with a cell phone, or maybe upgrading for the first time. Can you imagine a better choice? Can you imagine a quote-unquote free Android device that is even remotely comparable to an iPhone? I can't.
Nope.
No. I think the iPhone 3GS is really, really interesting.
I think we're forgetting to mention that the fact is, this is a... The iPhone is like an iPod Touch, only with phone capabilities. So, for some people, they don't need to carry a phone and an iPod or some type of MP3 player with them. So this, like, that 99, that free, quote-unquote free price point is really great for...
You know, I didn't think of
just
that.
Just that reason as well.
You know, that's an 8-gigabyte phone. I didn't even think about that. You are absolutely right. I mean, as long as you're willing to pay for the contract, which is absurdly expensive, and it's only on AT&T, since they did not make a CDMA version of the 3GS. But as long as you're willing to go with AT&T, you have 3G cell access for high-speed internet. You have and high-quality voice. You have a best-in-class media player, really very good. You have access to the iTunes store. You have access to the App Store. And 99.999999% of apps will run on the 3GS just fine. You are going to be getting an upgrade to iCloud with all those related services. You know, that 3GS phone, now that I think about it, you are absolutely right. That's like a free iPod just thrown in the mix. That's fantastic. That really is. That got good battery life, too, by the way. That got excellent battery life.
I wouldn't know. I never had one.
Yeah. I loved mine, now that I think about it. So do you have anything else to say about this?
No, but like when we're talking about the whole, like the App Store and stuff, look at what type of revenue like Apple's gonna get from giving this for free, because they do get a share from like all the like apps that are sold and like everything else.
Oh, absolutely! And don't forget, Apple sells these phones at full price to the companies, the wireless companies, and they're the ones who subsidize them, not Apple. So I don't know what Apple is charging for this 3GS now. It can't be more than $100, but they're getting that $100, and yes. It is the cell company that is subsidizing it, making it look quote unquote free. So from Apple's point of view, this iPhone 4 being at $100 and the 3GS being at nothing, I mean, they are going to be swimming in sales. And by the way, we did not mention that the pre-orders for the iPhone 4S have been through the roof. Sprint, Verizon, and AT&T. By the way, we didn't even mention Sprint was added as a carrier, so they're going to be carrying the iPhone 4S as well, and the iPhone 4. All three of them sold out within a day. AT&T announced real numbers. They sold over 200,000 units within one day. It was by far and away a record. Now, granted, some of that might have been driven by increased interest surrounding Apple after Steve Jobs died. But, you know, quite frankly, I don't think that had much of an impact. I think there's this pent-up demand for a new iPhone, and the consumer is seeing this new iPhone, and they're thinking to themselves, well, you know what, this is a beautiful phone, and it sounds like it's pretty different, so I'm going to get it. I think Apple is going to be just, you know, swimming in revenue for years to come. I mean, this iPhone business for them is just like having their own money press in the basement. It's just amazing. So do we have anything else to say about that?
Nope. Now it's no.
All right. Yeah, you surprised me. Normally you say no when I ask that. okay, so to find links to the stories we talked about today, go to our website, justgettingbypodcast.com. There you will see links to the stories we have discussed today and in past episodes. You'll also find links to download the show and to listen to it on the site itself. You will also find links to subscribe to our show in your favorite podcast client of choice. And there's also a dedicated button. We need to make this more visible, by the way. I'm gonna work on that. But we have a dedicated iTunes subscribe link. And we would prefer that you subscribe to us on iTunes, quite frankly. We would like to see how many people are listening to us. We have really no idea right now. We would like to increase our listenership as much as possible. So that being said, if you have any suggestions, anything you want to criticize or compliment, anything you want to see done differently, anything you want us to add, email us. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Again, feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And, you know, ChemSlave, it's been a fun week, a little bit of a sad week, but it's been a good week as well. I like the quality of our shows this week. And let's keep this up. I will talk to you next week.
Yep. See ya.
Have a good week.